Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
You gathered around a flagpole for a jubilant celebration. So what was the occasion?
Well, actually, it was 1978, and it was Argentina, and it was the World Cup for soccer. I was in high school, and of course, it was not just the fact that we won the World Cup. It was the fact that it was in Argentina, and Argentina won.
So the event was held in Argentina.
Yes, yes. And the whole country went crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. And I was in a boarding school, and there were several hundreds of us watching this match in different places and houses and stuff like that around the village, around this college. And instinctively and spontaneously, we all kind of rallied around the flagpole. I mean, there had not been a memo sent or anything like
no
that.
No announcement. The game is over and people gravitate towards the flagpole.
Yes, and it's because we all felt identified with our flag because that was the identity of our team. It was the Argentinian team that had actually won. And we stood there in silence for a second, raising the flag up, like saying, this is our flag. And then after that, this exuberant, flamboyant yelling and screaming and celebrating started, and as soon as we raised the flag up.
You know, I've heard similar stories, especially from those who served in the armed forces, who talk about the wonderful feelings and emotions that the Star-Spangled Banner create in them, because they have fought for that flag. Many of their friends have died for it and for what it represents. Mm-hmm. Because the flag means something to these individuals. And when they see someone desecrating a flag, it just sends them into a rage.
Yes.
Because people have given their lives for that banner.
Correct.
It means something.
Correct. And, you know, in ancient times, when nations marched into battle, they would be the first person would actually carry the colors.
Yeah. In fact, that happened as recently as the Civil War, you know, with the first person into battle carrying the colors. In fact, if that person fell, then another person would grab those and would take up the lead then into battle, encouraging his comrades at arms to move into battle.
That's very interesting, because today we have an actual battle. It's the first battle that Israel will encounter on their journey to the Promised Land. And we have the story of what they learn about God. I mean, so far they learn that Yahweh is who he says he is. They learn that he's the redeemer. They learn that Yahweh is the healer and that he's the provider. But they're going to learn something new about Yahweh in this story.
Mm-hmm. And we find this in Exodus chapter 17, beginning with verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought against Israel at Rephidim.
Can I interrupt you?
You know, I somehow expected that this would happen, because that is so much the pattern of our relationship.
Okay. Well, but usually interrupt for a reason. And here, Amalek... it's a good name, because this fight between Israel and the Amalekites is the beginning of enmity, if that's the right word in English.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah. Enmity.
Yeah. Between Israel and the Amalekites all the way through the Old Testament. Perhaps you remember the book of Esther, for example. This is a story that is known by many people. If you remember the man Haman, who wanted to kill the Jews, he's called Haman the Agagite, and Agag, or Agag, was the worst king of the Amalekites, the fiercest one. So when we get in the book of Esther, Haman the Agagite, what they're saying is that he's an Amalekite, and he's continuing this fight that started over here. So we have this as an ongoing enmity in the Bible.
This is a long-standing battle. In other words,
absolutely.
There's much hatred between these two nations.
And this is
now
the first encounter that they
right.
have.
This is where it all began. The feud starts here. Verse 9, so Moses said to Joshua, choose men for us and go out, fight against Amalek. Tomorrow I will station myself on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Joshua did as Moses told him and fought against Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. So it came about when Moses held his hand up that Israel prevailed, and when he let his hand down, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. Then they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side. Thus his hands were steady until the sun set. So Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword.
And the Lord said to Moses, write this in a book as a memorial and recite it to Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. Moses built an altar and named it, the Lord is my banner. And this in Hebrew is Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is our banner. The Lord is the flag under which we are fighting. The Lord is the one that actually empowers us. And God gave them an actual visual aid of this. Because when Moses would raise his hands to heaven, showing the source of the empowerment, they would win. But when he put them down and everybody thought, okay, Israel is fighting, they would lose.
They would lose. And you know, we see God talking to Israel about this quite often, where he says, stand still and watch the victory that I will win for you. I will go before you. I will fight for you. At times, even Israel sending the choir into battle first, because they had confidence that God had already won the battle for them.
I think it's very significant also that we encounter here the name of Joshua. You know, in verse 9, it says, Moses said to Joshua, Joshua is a name that Moses gave this man. His original name was Hosea, and you can see this in Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. And Hosea means salvation, but Moses changed the name of Hosea to Joshua, which means salvation is from the Lord. And Numbers 13, 16 shows this change of name. And here in the first battle, we're told, I mean, this is the first appearance that we have of Joshua, we're told that salvation is from the Lord, is going to head this battle, and we're going to build an altar that the Lord is our banner, I mean, the Lord being Yahweh.
And the Lord is the one who has won this battle. It's interesting that, you know, in these names and these circumstances, we already see foreshadowings of the New Testament doctrine of righteousness by faith in Christ alone. It is God who wins our battles, God who provides for us, God who gives us our salvation. And it's really throughout all of Scripture.
Yes, actually, the prophet Isaiah, you know, remember when we have some chapters that we call messianic chapters, where we are told a few things about the Messiah to come. And one of those was that the Messiah would become the standard, it would become the signal, or would become the banner of his people.
And Isaiah chapter 11, verse 10, it says, then in that day, the nations will resort to the root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal or a banner for the peoples, and his resting place will be glorious.
Yes, I love the fact that a person could be the standard. I mean, this word for signal would better be translated as a standard. It's a pole. It's something that is sticking up so that you would see this identity of the people. And here says that the Messiah who come as from the stem of Jesse, you know, Jesse was the father of David. So he's talking about the Davidic lineage of Jesus, that he would be the standard, that he would be the banner of his people.
And we find, I'd like to turn now to Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. And these are the words of Jesus through the Apostle John as he writes, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. I am the root and the descent of David, the bright morning star.
It's very interesting that the Bible ends up with Jesus saying, by the way, that standard that was prophesied about, that banner, that signal that was going to be set up, it was me. It was me all along. I am Jesus, and I'm the one that has given you the last word about what's going to happen in this world in the book of Revelation, and I am the one you were waiting for. See, it's very interesting how some ideas and concepts unite the whole Bible, and here we have one of those that the nations around Israel had banners and had flags in their way, not like we have it now, but very similar type of concept. But for the people of Israel, their flag, their banner was a person, and in this case was their God, and Yahweh was their banner.
Yeah, and Jesus is that banner. He is the one who to whom we point. In fact, Christian churches will often have a cross because that symbolizes Jesus and what he's done for us, and that becomes the banner, Jesus who has fought that fight for us. You know, I think there's so many spiritual applications for this. First of all, of course, has to do with our salvation, the fact that Jesus is the one who has fought the battle and won your salvation for you, not your own strength, not your own might. But then in the everyday battles of life, we trust Jesus with those things. If I, you know, there are times when people take pot shots at me by, you know, gossip and rumor and innuendo, and if I spend my time chasing all those down, I have no energy for anything else, but I trust Jesus to be my banner, my defense, and let him take care of those things as I stay on target, stay on task, on mission.
Yeah, it's very interesting for me to remember on a day-to-day basis, not just for my salvation, where salvation comes from. This is why I love this change of name of Joshua here in chapter 16, because as you know, the name Joshua in Greek mm-hmm. is the same name as Jesus. So it's Jesus, right? And so here we have Joshua really as a symbol of Jesus, and the name being changed from salvation to the Lord is my salvation, or the Lord saves. Mm-hmm. And when we are told in the New Testament that Jesus would be called Jesus, the reason is because he will save his mm-hmm. people.
We don't save ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't do that through our effort or through our sacrifice mm-hmm. or our good behavior. It is Jesus who saves us through his effort, his behavior, his work. He's the one who fought the fight.
What a wonderful thing if on a day-to-day basis we can remember that our flag, our identity as a people is the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we want to encourage you to be empowered by the power of Jesus Christ in your daily living, so that you don't need to become anxious about the fights you're facing.
In fact, I think that you can be enthused by those fights because you represent the greatest nation in the universe, and mm-hmm. that is the kingdom of God. Our men and women have fought proudly under the banner of the Star-Spangled Banner. We fight under a different banner, and that is the banner Jesus Christ, our righteousness. He is our banner. He is our Savior. We fight under his power, his strength, and he wins the battle for us.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.